Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Today we're going to continue our series on the Ten Commandments and specifically focus on the commandment that has to do with Christmas, or at least has something tangential to do with Christmas, because if you're listening to this as I release it, Christmas is on the way. And so what an important commandment to listen to hear about, to talk about, learn about, think about as we get to the Christmas holiday. As we get to the end of the Christmas shopping season, what commandment am I talking about? I'm talking about in the Lutheran numbering, the 9th and 10th commandments. We'll deal with that in a second, the numbering that is. But let's go over the commandments so we know what we're talking about here. The commandment is from Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, where God says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor." And Martin Luther writes, of course, in the Lutheran numbering, this is split into two commandments. So twice Martin Luther writes this. What does this mean? As regarding the 9th commandment, he writes, "We should fear and love God so that we do not scheme to get our neighbor's inheritance or house, or get it in a way which only appears right, but help and be of service to him in keeping it." And then regarding the 10th commandment, Luther writes, "We should fear and love God so that we do not entice or force away our neighbor's wife, workers, or animals, or turn them against him, but urge them to stay and do their duty." So first off, we need to think about the numbering of these commandments. Why do Lutherans have these commandments, this one commandment split into two commandments, and call it the 9th and then the 10th commandment? Well, it's because of the numbering earlier in the commandments. We deal with this in another video. If you look on our playlist on Eagles on the Hill on YouTube, just search for Eagles on the Hill and you'll see the playlist there on the 10 commandments. We deal with this question. And what's happening is that Lutherans don't number the commandments correctly earlier in the list. And so Lutherans get, and Catholics, which is where Lutherans get their numbering, get to the end of the list of commandments and we only have 9. And so what Catholics and then therefore Lutherans do is split the 9th commandment into two parts, which is an unnecessary split. It's a wrong split. Actually, the Jewish numbering of the commandments is correct. Well, that's my view of it, at least. I believe that I'm correct as you look in Scripture. They're not numbered in the Bible. That's the issue. And so the Jewish numbering, I believe, is correct. And so for the Jews, this is the 10th commandment. This, what Lutherans call 9th and 10th, is actually the 10th commandment, the last of the commandments. And as you look at this commandment, one of the things you'll notice, if you compare this to the rest of the commandments, is that this is the only commandment that deals with the heart. It's the only commandment that deals with our thoughts. And so, and you could make an argument that some of the other commandments deal with thoughts, but in actuality, the other commandments deal with actions. This is the one commandment that deals with a thought. And it, so this is, there's only one thought or type of thought that's prohibited in the Ten Commandments, and that is this one, coveting. It doesn't mean other thoughts aren't bad. There's lots of other thoughts that can be bad. But this is the one, maybe that's the worst, I don't know. It's the one that God points out in the commandment, says this is the one thought you can't have, that this is one thought is prohibited in the commandments. Why is this such a bad thought that it rises to the level of being mentioned in the commandments? Well, for that, we turn to James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15 says this, "Each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. And then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." So, this is the one thought that's referenced here in James chapter 1. It's the one thought, coveting, which leads ultimately to death. This thought of coveting, and we'll talk about what coveting means in a moment, but this thought of coveting invariably leads to violations of the other commandments, invariably leads to stealing, it invariably leads to adultery, it invariably leads to murder, it invariably leads to bearing false witness, it leads to a whole variety of physical actions, and that is why this thought of coveting, and when we let coveting kind of seep into our minds, that's why this idea, this thought of coveting is so bad, is so dangerous, because it leads to all these violations of the other commandments. It even leads us to violate the Sabbath commandment. It leads us to violate the commandment about honoring those in authority over us, particularly our parents. It leads us to violate the first commandment, honoring God and having only one God and having no other gods. The sin of coveting leads us invariably to violating that commandment. So let's talk about what coveting is and what it is not. To covet is to want, but not just to want. It's to want to the point of seeking to take away and own something that belongs to another person. So there's kind of two parts to this wanting. Wanting, first of all, that leads, it is such a desire, it's to the point of seeking to take something away from someone else. And specifically, it's wanting not only something else, but something else that belongs to another person. So, in other words, coveting is wanting my neighbor's house. It is desiring the house, the specific house that belongs to my neighbor, to the point where I then begin to scheme up and think up and dream up ways in which I could get that house from my neighbor. I could take it away and own that house, even though that house belongs to my neighbor. Or think of your neighbor's wife. I want not just any other woman, but I want that particular woman that belongs to my neighbor's wife. And I begin to scheme up ways to take away that neighbor's wife. Okay, so that's coveting. Now, think of wanting something that does not involve those two particular things. So I want a house like my neighbor's. That could be destructive. It could cause me to work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day to try to get that house that's like my neighbor's. That could be a destructive thought. Or it could be a constructive thought. I want to live in a house like my neighbor's. And so I go to school and I get a degree and I earn money and I seek to be a saver, not just a spender of everything I get, not go into debt for other things, but instead I seek to be diligent in saving so that I can one day purchase a home like my neighbor's. But in so doing, I don't violate any of the other commandments. So in other words, wanting a house like your neighbor's might be destructive. It might be a bad thought, or it could be constructive and be a good thought. It could motivate me to be able to earn money in a constructive way. The same thing with if I'm not married, wanting a wife like my neighbor's. I look at my neighbor and say, wow, they have such a great relationship. That is a godly woman. I want to set my sights on having a godly woman for a wife. And that could be constructive. It could also be destructive. And you can figure out ways that might be destructive and so forth. You could pick any other example of wanting things. So the point is, to covet specifically is to want to the point of seeking to take away and own something that belongs to another person. That's coveting. So that is what is specifically prohibited in the commandment. So think about, since we're recording this at Christmas time, but you can listen to this any time of year, it makes the same kind of sense, but we're recording this as we're doing our Christmas shopping. When I think about what I want for Christmas, or what someone else wants for Christmas, are they coveting that? Or are they wanting it in a destructive way or a constructive way? Is what I want for Christmas, am I coveting that thing for Christmas? That would be definitely wrong. Or am I wanting that particular thing for Christmas in a way that's destructive? Might be all-consuming. I might be putting that thing above God himself in my life. I might be wanting it so much, even though it doesn't belong to anyone. It's on the Amazon website, so it doesn't belong to anyone except Amazon, which they're looking to sell it. But am I wanting that thing in a way that's destructive? I need to evaluate that in my heart. Or am I wanting that thing in a way that is constructive? And you could You'll have to evaluate that and maybe bring alongside the wisdom of others as you evaluate that. One of the things that happens in our culture that violates this commandment in a dramatic way and has negative cultural impacts for us is class envy and the promotion of class envy. That is a big thing in our culture. It's a big thing in our political environment. This promotion, this constant talk of class envy, of the haves and the have-nots. I would say, and as I look at this happening in our culture, that 95%, I'm just putting a number on it, 95% of the class envy and the promotion of class envy in our culture is a violation of this commandment. Why? Because the solution to the haves and have-nots is very often in our culture, 95% of the time, seeking to take away and own something that belongs to another person. It's coveting. In other words, the solutions are to class envy, to those that have too much and those that don't have enough, is to take away from those who have, most often via taxation, to take from those who don't have, legally take by taxation, and give to those who have not. That taking away, as we covered in our seventh commandment, by taxation, the agreement of the community to take from those who have, is stealing. It becomes a violation of the seventh commandment, which lets you know that the class envy that's oftentimes promoted in our culture is a violation of this tenth commandment, coveting, because violation of the tenth commandment winds up as a violation of what we call the seventh commandment, thou shalt not steal. So, however, talking about haves and have-nots in our culture in a way that does not violate this commandment would be good. For instance, how might that be good? Think about that. If we talk about the haves and have-nots and say, you know what? We as a culture, as a nation, need to promote education because we want to specifically talk about education that is equal across the board, that does not prioritize good education for those who have. But instead, education is equal across the board, and we promote the value of education among those who have and those who have not. Teaching those who have not that via education, they might indeed gain some of those things that they don't have. That would be a good wanting, a good desire instilled in those both who have and those who have not. There's other ways, of course, that we could deal with class envy, if you will, class differences between haves and have-nots in positive ways. Promoting the idea, for instance, of saving, of investing, of passing wealth on to the next generation. Those things are all dealt with in the book of Proverbs in the scriptures. If we inculcate the values of education, hard work, saving, passing things on to the next generation, if we inculcate those among the haves and have-nots equally, we'll find that the class differences begin to diminish. But instead, if we spend our time, as we tend to do in our culture, promoting class envy in a way that says, you know, the way to solve this is to take from the haves and give to the have-nots, we will simply cause more problems in our culture. So this commandment is both a personal commandment in terms of coveting individually to look at our own hearts, to examine our own hearts, but also a commandment that impacts us as a culture. For me, as I look at my own heart, I find, I have to be honest, the sin of coveting there. And so it's an opportunity as I read this commandment, as I think about what this commandment is like, what this commandment is about, it's an opportunity for me to go, in this case, to the manger, since I'm doing this at Christmas time, to go to the foot of the cross and confess my sins to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as I confess my sins to Jesus, to be thankful for the promise of God in Scripture that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so I thank God for Jesus at this time of year, that He has come to forgive my sins and your sins too, that the gift of the baby in the manger is the greatest gift of all, God's heart of joy as He gives us His own Son, Jesus, that all who believe in Him would not perish but have eternal life. I pray that this commandment and the discussion of this commandment will be of great benefit to you in your daily life, but particularly drive you to the cross, where you and I can find forgiveness where you and I can find new life in Christ and a renewed power to not covet what others have, because we have the greatest gift of all, the gift of Jesus, the gift of eternal life, the gift that matters above all things. I pray this podcast has been a blessing to you. We encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know how this podcast might have benefited you, other thoughts you might have about this commandment, questions you might have about this or other commandments. I encourage you to remember the scripture, the promise of God in Isaiah, that those who hope in the Lord will soar on wings like eagles. Thanks for listening to Eagles on the Hill today. Encourage you to like, subscribe, share with your friends.